You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
This is Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., a production of The Black Effect and iHeartRadio. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
And I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to it. Cut to it. Let's get down to it. Cut to it.
We ask the questions you always want to know, but no one ever asks.
Let's cut to it.
If you ain't heard about it, then we're about to let you know.
Cause you know it's on.
It's on.
Cause you know it's on.
We got on the podcast, Jonathan Stewart, man. Welcome
to the Cut to It podcast. I kind of like this.
Yeah, cut to it. You've been doing a lot of good stuff, man.
I appreciate it. You listen?
Yeah.
I think a lot of the former teammates listen, and they also had an opinion like, why he ain't gonna have me on?
Nah,
yeah, you liar. I know that I lie.
Nah, I've been.
No, I'm talking about some of the other people.
Oh,
I'm gonna have him on.
Yeah,
I just don't.
Strategic, man.
I just don't want to flood the Panther market.
Yeah, because then right? It's easy.
Right? Yeah, then it's like, oh, and then I'll be considered a homer.
Right.
So I gotta switch it up.
Gotta have the flow, man. Yes. You're very resourceful. Brother.
I try to be. Take us down that road of football, because a lot of people don't know you've been the 13th overall pick by the Carolina Panthers, drafted and injured, had surgery prior to the draft. Now, the Panthers had some insight because the guy that did your foot, world-renowned Bob Anderson, who does most guys' feet, They knew the recovery time, or they thought they knew the recovery time.
Right.
But yet, just like anything else, that surgery for some people takes X amount of time. For you particularly, how long did it take you after your surgery for you to feel right, comfortable enough to become the player you ended up becoming? Because people don't know, drafted in April, when did you have your surgery?
March.
March, right before the draft, you didn't become Jonathan Stewart until when?
I mean, I didn't have no time. I had from March till the third preseason game. of my rookie year.
April, May, June, July, August. They put you in September, October, so probably about December when you were, and now the weather's changed, where you were expected to start impacting your team as a top 15 pick. So how did you feel getting in the game?
March of 2008, I was having surgery before my birthday, my 21st birthday. And I was in Eugene, Oregon, and I was hearing ESPN telling folks that I was a drifter and I have a foot injury and I shouldn't be a top pick and all these things. And I've already committed to go for the draft early as a junior. And so you're hearing all these things for the first time about what you're not when you've been told
what you are,
what you are,
what you, you know, could
for
be.
The, what you could be for the recent time up until you got injured. Right. And, you know, it was tough, you know, mentally not really sure what to expect, where I'm going to land and all that. And, you know, I went to pro day, and when I was at the pro day,
Yeah, you had pro day not being
that
able,
pro day. Yeah. Yeah.
Pro, you had pro day knowing you cannot perform because right. of your foot.
But I had I had the combine and then pro day, but I didn't have anyone talk to me at pro day or anything like that. But I did have my combine, which Doug Williams, he was there.
He
in
was
the hall.
Was he with the Redskins or Tampa Bay at the time?
I think he was with Tampa.
He was with Tampa Bay at that time.
And so I saw him in passing in the hallway and he had recognized me. And it kind of threw me off. I was like, dang, that's the
Doug Williams.
Doug Williams.
I get that too. I'm like, Doug
yeah,
knows
like, man, he knows who I am.
But it's more of, I know Doug.
Yeah. But he hit me. He pulled me to the side. And he had must have heard about my situation from the training and all that stuff being there that I wasn't going to run because I had my toe injury.
And what was the toe injury?
So I had turf toe.
Yes. Why is turf toe such a big issue?
Because you have to, as a running back, you have to be able to balance on one foot. You got to be able to make cuts on the dime.
So your big toe was just hurting?
No, big toe ain't working. It's swollen. It's jammed up. Ligaments torn. All kind of stuff, right?
Bone, so tough kind of placement. Turf toe is not like, oh, I hit my foot on a coffee table.
Nah.
Trying to, you know, get the remote.
Right. Turf toe is pretty much taking your thumb.
Yes.
And just having someone just smash it a bunch of times, I guess.
And so and so now where your knuckle is and where, you know, all of that, everything in between your knuckle and your fingernail is pretty much Swiss cheese.
Right.
Ooh.
And swole. Buff. Yeah, without your big toe, man, like, listen, your calves, your hamstrings, your lower back, that right, that big toe is activating all that.
That's
crazy.
It makes you lopsided.
Right.
Everything gets
you compensate,
out of,
right?
And then you compensate. Yeah, yeah. And then that all, and then you compensate because now your left side has all of the work and is now doing the work of the left side and doing the work of the right side. So it compensates, and now the left side gets overworked and it potentially causes a strain. So now you got a muscle strain on your left side. You got a non-firing right side. Man, you up a creek without a paddle.
Right. Which is eventually what I started, you know, experiencing, overcompensating for my toe. But going back, combine, Doug Williams passing in the hallway, he said, listen, if you fast, you're going to run fast no matter what. Go out there and run. I don't care. I said, all right. So I called my agent. I said, look, I saw Doug Williams. He said, go out there and run.
So Doug trumped the agent.
Well, my agent was like, well, if you feel comfortable,
yeah,
run. I'm like, all right. So I went out there and ran.
What'd you run?
I did the vertical jump.
What'd you run?
I ran a 4.46. So
on a
turf toe.
Yeah. Turf toe.
I was running on the side of my foot. And then I did the vertical jump. And I think it was like 37 and a half.
Jammed
on a turf toe.
Yep.
And so what I realized, though, is Doug was really telling me, if you a dog, you a dog. Go out there and eat. Like, this is your opportunity. And so I think that helped me in the long run.
Absolutely. For me, people fell in love with him.
For me to go through injury and to show what I have. I'm a firm believer in whatever you're going through, God's prepping you, right? And so, like, I'm hurt. I've been hurt. I've gotten through it. I've been healed and all those things. So I'm not going to spend time, you know, focusing on what people are telling me that I'm not. Mm. I'm going to take that, you know, that advice that I got from Doug Williams and prove to people what I am. Even though I am hurt, I'm still a dog. So just let me get healthy, right? And so that was my mindset during the combine. Pro day comes around at Oregon. I'm not even in the vicinity. I'm not even asked to come there. It felt weird. Like I was just almost kind of like forgotten, right? And then the Panthers take me off site to a hotel, and I have a meeting with the scouting department. I didn't think nothing of it.
Don Gregory.
Besides one team that I didn't even meet at the combine, you know what I'm saying? Took me to the side and yeah, whatever. Like they checked on my you know, if I was rehabbing and all that kind of stuff. Draft comes around. Sure enough, Carolina Panthers call me and I'm drafted. Go to OTAs. I didn't even go to like a ceremony or jersey hanging or anything like that. But because of my upbringing and the simple mindset that I had, my expectations were here. Okay. From receiving anything. But I knew I had to work for whenever my time was come, whenever I was able to get on the field, I had to be ready. And so OTAs, I show up. Now I remember John Beeson, he was coming off of a surgery and all those types of things. Like he had like a shoulder surgery or something. And, you know, and cause obviously I looked up, you know, players on the team and who was who. And I just remember.
You looked up guys?
Yeah.
Dang, I was a dummy. I never looked up nobody.
but
I just learned something.
But I was excited. I knew I was coming to play football with Steve Smith, Julius Peppers. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was like, okay, this was up. And so, seeing John in his situation, it kind of like took a little bit of pressure off me, knowing that here's a guy that was drafted first round that's hurt. Mm. He's rehabbing. This is how this thing goes. This is their off season. I have a little bit of time. I'm not immediately needed, if that makes any sense. No, so I go back to college after OTAs, finish up what I got to do there.
Well, you had rehabbing. To as well. Because in the league,
yeah,
you're not allowed to participate with the team
yeah.
out of college if your school
within the quarter system
is still in session.
Yeah.
So I had the same thing.
And so go back. And then I'm rehabbing, working out. I get back to train. And then it's June. Rookies had to report early. So I reported, stayed in the Holiday Inn and all that stuff or whatever, training camp. And then I was finally ready to practice. And so defense was licking their chops. Thomas Davis. I remember getting hit in the backfield immediately. I thought that it was a A-gap blitz from TD. He came off the edge. So that's how quick I got hit. I thought it was from the middle. He came off the edge. And so I was like, okay, this football thing is really fast in the NFL. And they can hit. And I'm pissed off right now. And the very next play, D'Angelo was supposed to come in and skip. I looked at Skip, I was like mad, and he said, yeah, stay in there. And the very next play, I just went crazy and started stiff-arming people, and just that's kind of how that went.
Wow.
And then so throughout training camp, you know, like watching how things were going and all that stuff with, you know, the team, I started getting acclimated to the team. You know, and then preseason's going by. I missed the first preseason game, missed the second preseason game. The third preseason game, I think we played Philly. In Philly, I got in there on the very last drive. I got a carry. I got like a draw. And it was just like in practice with TD. I got hit immediately. And then Skip took me out. He said, "Nope, get out." And I say that because it takes the right people, mm-hmm. right? And
you gotta be coachable too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I call that like a grace moment for myself by having a coach that understood the situation. I'm in there with the third string line. The following game, we played the Washington Redskins.
The Washington football team.
Oh, well, back then it was the Redskins. That's when things started to get real for me, right? Okay. And slowing down a little bit. Like, I remember, like, pregame, I remember seeing Sean Springs. He was still playing. I'm like, man, he's still playing. He's so old. Like, yeah. You know, Jason Taylor, yeah. DN.
He was stealing back then.
Yeah.
He admitted it. You got to see his football life. He admitted it. So I'm not talking. When he was with Washington, he said he was stealing.
Yeah. So, but and so then I had a outside, you know, zone play drawn up, followed Brad Hoover, and took it down the sideline, scored, and it felt easy. And I not easy like clout, you know, like
it
whatever,
was,
but
yeah. it felt like what you knew.
It felt like what I knew. Yeah. It felt like I was in a zone. It felt like I belonged where I was.
No questions
and
anymore.
Then Smitty was the first person in the end zone, picked me up. I'm like, wow, this man is strong. Right, but
obese on the charts. He was obese on the charts.
Did you regret it when you've been like,
I'm committed.
Right. I'm in this thing now.
I'm committed.
Jump for me.
But it was just like one of those moments where I was like, okay, I can do this.
Yeah.
Right. And then, but it still didn't really connect.
What do you mean you belong? How does a guy who's drafted 13th overall,
first round pick, balled out at Oregon?
You got, according to our listeners, you're getting paid a king's ransom to play a child's game, and you're telling me after scoring a touchdown, it took a touchdown, not being drafted, not flying New York, not getting fitted for a suit, not getting put on first class from Washington all the way to Charlotte, not being picked up, not getting your locker, not signing your Nike contract, not getting pick your jersey, not them fitting your helmet in your head, not for you eating in the cafeteria and Julius Peppers walks past you. Not any of that made you feel like you belong until you hit a touchdown?
Right.
How?
I mean, my expectations, right? You know, my expectations weren't settling for getting the helmet or getting a jersey. You know, I remember you firsthand, your jersey going to be replaced unless you do something great. Mm. Right? So my expectations was I want to prove to myself that I belong here because I just came from a road of recovery and a lot of, you know, side questions as far as, is he going to be okay? Is he going to be ready? Mm. And all these things. And now I had an opportunity where I was successful in the beginning stages of me feeling like I belong. You know what I'm saying? And so, and then everything else added to it. Like, I mean, that was the beginning stage. Mm. I would say Monday Night Football, my rookie year, was the we played the Tampa Bay Buccaneers Monday Night Football home game, and that was the moment where it clicked for me.
Oh.
Yeah, that's when me and D'Angelo went ham.
No, that was I left. My grandpa had passed.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Remember? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like. Oh
yeah,
yeah. That was right after Thanksgiving,
right?
Yeah.
So, and that's just amazing, right? Like the realness of what actually transpires behind the lens, right?
Yeah.
But what people go through, like we out here performing and doing all these things and living our dream, and
in real life, and
real life is happening.
How do you keep football the focus then?
My injuries is what kept me focused. Because if it wasn't for me not feeling great in the mornings, or feeling great for practice, or feeling great in the morning of the game, I wouldn't have had that focus to maintain and to get to the point to where I can actually perform.
Yeah.
And so me being injured required me to focus on my injury. What does this mean that I can't move my ankle the way I used to? You know, what do I need to do?
Yeah.
Right. And not getting the answers right up front and having to search and having to wait and having to figure it out.
And be played mind games by the staff at times.
Right.
Because that's just how football
that's
is.
That's how it works. Like it pretty much stimulated me to just say, okay, I have this thing that I've been blessed with. How am I supposed to be the steward of this, right?
Mm.
And so you look at my rookie year, you know, I went through what I went through, bounce back, whatever, get on the playing field, start getting in the zone, get an ankle injury. Oh, man, how am I supposed to recover from this? Whatever. So it's just a continuous, you know, time of just being stimulated by injury, knowing that I have to be on the field. So my mind was, I want to go and play music. I want to go home and just veg out and play video games. I want to go and hang out and enjoy the fruits of, you know, the labor that I've been, you know, having.
Yeah.
Right. I think year three, it all clicked in the sense of mind, body, spirit.
Okay.
Right. It's three things. Everybody talks about it. But for me, like if my body wasn't where it needed to be, that means spiritually and mentally, I needed to be on my A game. Because if my spiritual sense wasn't right, I ain't got no.
Everything's
up. I'm up a creek without a paddle.
Yeah.
Right. Mentally, I got to be wherever I am mentally. If I'm not there spiritually, my mentals are going to be on a whole different path.
So how did you get there then?
You have to put in the work. Just like you train your body, you work out. Just like you want to be the best football player, you go out there and catch balls and you run and you do your agility cuts and all that, right? Mentally, right? You have to stay sharp. So what are you doing to stay sharp to where you're not feeling the pressures
of
not
sharp?
Knowing?
What did you do?
You study.
You study what?
So whenever you study your opponents, you go through your – when I'm not practicing, right? When I'm not
not taking a dig at you, but that was a lot.
No, but but whenever you're not doing what you feel like you're supposed to be doing, you got to mentally – grasp that, right? So you got to envision yourself doing that thing. So playing football, I'm not playing football. I need to visualize that and stay on the game plans and stay in the classroom and actually take notes like I'm taking notes for the first time about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We played them the first time, but I know exactly who's who, but I still got to take notes and put things down and jot them down as if it's the first time me seeing it and experiencing it. So that way I stay fresh and still I stay sharp. Because part of the mental thing is, oh, I ain't got it no more. I probably ain't going to be able to have it when I'm back. Or am I going to be ready? You know, being uncertain because you haven't been on the football field for a couple of weeks now.
So are you telling me as you are processing getting ready on the field, you're also honing in and learning how you learn.
Right.
How you can consume information and hold it and it be part of making you good at your craft.
Right.
I love Cut to It, and I love it even more when you download us and subscribe.
And you can follow us on social media too, Smitty.
Where at?
That's at Cut to It on Instagram.
What about Twitter?
At Cut to It.
Facebook?
Cut to It featuring Steve Smith Sr.
What about online?
And you can follow us at cuttoitpodcast.com, where you can buy merch and you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
I got all my answers I got all my questions answered.
That's what I'm here for, brother. Cuttoitpodcast.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast. Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game win I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my game.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
So we've got Arian Foster, a 4-time Pro Bowl running back for the Houston Texans and Miami Dolphins. He was first-team All-Pro in 2010, and he holds the Houston Texans franchise records in rushing yards and rushing touchdowns.
Where are you living these days?
I'm still out in Houston, man. I got all my babies out there, so until they are out on their own and experiencing the world, I'm gonna be there. I got a foot in there at least.
All right. How has life been for you for the last 18 months?
Oh, man. Well, split with my lady. And I think that was like one of the first times where really experienced heartbreak. Because before, I think I had been I wouldn't say a womanizer, man, but like I played the game a lot, right? And so this is the first time where I was really like invested in a family like that. Mm-hmm. And so long story short, yeah, experienced some heartbreak to where it was like really transformative, and it kind of changed the way that I viewed things, kind of changed the way I looked at myself. And, you know, in the midst of it, just kind of figuring out forgiveness and trying to meet people where they at instead of where I expect them to be. And that's been really helpful. Hmm.
So we always started off this way. I love asking it this way. You know, where are you from in the place you call your hometown?
Grew up in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Went to high school in San Diego, so I kind of rep both. Both kind of rep me. So I call both home.
Okay. All right. Yeah. How would you describe your childhood?
Chaotic, but fun. It was chaotic.
Elaborate on that if you dare to.
Yeah. So I grew up, I mean, it's not a story nobody's heard before, but I grew up in a domestically violent household, grew up in poverty. And so kind of navigating those waters and trying to hold on to a dream you have as a kid, it gets, it gets dramatic. There's just a lot of moving pieces, a lot of emotional baggage you have to work through in your latter years that you were unable to. And then, you know, the family dynamic that comes with that as well, as being a breadwinner in your family from somebody from first generation wealth to being able to manage all of those relationships and the expectations that come with that, friendships. So, yeah.
Man, I read something that my research team gave me, which was really good, and I want to park on it. You were raised in an Islamic household.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so my father was Muslim. I believe he was raised Catholic, but
You can't just say that casually and then scoot over it, like.
Yeah, when I say Muslim in the house I grew up in, it's not the like traditional Eastern Muslim, right? It's more so the Americanized FOI, Fruit of Islam, Minister Farrakhan. Like it was that sect of Islam that I grew up underneath, which is basically the same thing, except that they are a little more politically active and politically motivated. Mm-hmm. So in order to be in the FOI, like you have to have a very good foundation, and you have to understand your Black history. You have to understand your Bible. You have to understand your Quran. And I think growing up in that household, which obviously I'm not a Muslim anymore, but I grew up in that household, it allowed me to get a good root foundation of religion in general. Because I think if you're born in a, from my experience anyway, but if you're born in a Christian home, if you're born in a Catholic home, I grew up around a lot of Christians and Catholics. They're not really necessarily interested in other religions. But when you grow up in that household that I grew up in, we are. And it's more so to understand. It's also they intersect, right? So not to get too deep into it, but.
You can get as deep as you want, Paul.
I bet.
Whoa.
Jesus in a Christian belief is the last prophet before God is supposed to have come back. In Islam, Muhammad is that, right? And Jesus was a prophet in Islam. And so they view and love Jesus like a prophet, but they just don't view him as divine like Christians do. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of healthy respect and love for a lot of the teachings that Jesus brought from the perspective of a Muslim. And so, like I said, growing up in that household, it allowed me to kind of get a baseline understanding of the world religions, the major world religions. And so that's kind of how I navigated my theological belief system, was kind of trying to understand it all. And I mean, that journey took me to an entirely different place. But I think the root of it was necessary in not being pigeonholed into this is the truth, because we say it's the truth, and anything else, you're going against the family, you're going against, and that's kind of what I ran up into when I went to college, when you go to college. This is like pre-internet days, real internet days, right? There was internet, but it wasn't like it is today. But this is when where you were from, like that was the culture there. Like yeah. Now the cultures are kind of melding together.
Some of them, internet. Some of the cultures, or who allows them, you allow them to melt together.
Yeah. I mean, that's a whole other conversation. But
let me ask you this then, because what's funny is, you know, as I'm sitting here listening to you and hearing you talk, I can also see, you know, you were always considered a guy who thought well beyond his years. You were always thinking. You were a thinker. And by the time you were, 15, 16 years old, you had the ability to have a complete, well-rounded education of Black history, a complete education of the Muslim culture, and then also obviously other cultures as well. You're living in Albuquerque, New Mexico. That in itself is a unique dynamic. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can imagine feeling out of place and being and sticking out would be an understatement.
Yeah, that's kind of been my experience everywhere I went. I'll be honest. And it wasn't anything purposefully done.
No, you couldn't. Yeah. It just I hate to say it, use this word, it's happenstance.
And I was going to ask, do you run from that or do you embrace it?
Well, I used to run from it. I think when you're a kid and you're kind of developing who you are as an individual, and, you know, your people can tell you, you know, be yourself all you want to, mm-hmm. but still there's that social pressure to
fit in,
conform. You want to have friends, you want to have ladies, you know what I mean? And so I think when you're younger, it's viewed as a liability to your personality. But as you grow, what you start to learn is it's an asset, and you use it as so. And so I'm grown now. Like, I don't give a shit. But when you're growing up, like it's harder to like when everybody around you is Christian, like everybody around you is Christian and you're Muslim. It's like that dude's a weirdo. And it's like you have to defend that without even. It's not, you're not the aggressor, but you have to defend it, you know, or else it's just constant. It's a constant barrage. On top of that, where I grew up around predominantly, my earlier years, I grew up around a lot of like Mexicans, So you, the outcast in that sense, where you're Black. And so you got to defend your Blackness to all these Mexicans. Right. And then you get around the brothers and sisters at that age, you almost too Black. No, you have to. So my mother was Mexican, right? So
okay.
Oh, so man. I grew up. So
you're
I grew
confused.
Up, so
I was like, nah.
Well, see, that's the type of shit they used to say. So then you're not Black enough, right?
Yeah.
And so it's always fighting that dynamic socially until one day I just realized, like, fuck these people. Like, I don't, like, fuck these people. Couldn't care less. And that in itself is attractive. When you're unapologetically yourself, that's when people come and say, okay, cool. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's just a life lesson you have to go through to learn.
I asked my wife, because my wife is my wife's from Utah. She grew up Mormon, but she's obviously married to me with four kids, so she ain't Mormon. And I asked her a question to ask you, just based on being raised one way and living and experiencing life another way. And so, so shout out to Angie of giving me this great question. I can't take credit for it. But she said, as you've gotten older, have you recognized any patterns or ideologies that were passed down from your young age that you catch yourself having to correct now that you're older?
That's actually a great question.
I married up, so that's why.
Congratulations. No, but the reason why it's a great question, because it's not necessarily applicable to me.
Yeah.
But I see it everywhere I go, right? So my mother, for instance, like she was raised Catholic, and she would probably consider herself agnostic now. Mm. I don't want to misquote moms, but she was like super raised Catholic, like back. I think she was born in 59. So like when like used to do something at the, you know, school and the teachers used to slap you with the rulers and shit.
Hold on. You can't be telling your mom year when she was born, bro.
She gonna run this like back.
She own it, man. So
I know she own it, but she don't want you owning it for her, though.
Put moms on front.
She say, "Mom, I apologize. you was born in 89. But yeah, so she grew up in a Catholic system where like they used to like hit them, they had permission to hit the kids, yeah. And shit like that. And so like she has residual because she's not a believer anymore in that sense. She's unsure about the higher power thing, but she's like she has residual like, man, I'm afraid of hell. Like she's super afraid of hell. Mm. Like and so like sometimes she has this guilt, and we always joke about it. But the one gift that I am extremely grateful that my parents gave me, and I always tell people this all the time, is they gave us the freedom to be ourselves. Mm. They gave us a foundation of religion. Like this is what we believe is the truth, but like you're your own person. Go find it. If it brings you back to what we believe in, that's amazing. If it doesn't, that's also amazing. Be who you are. And they gave us a foundation, and they taught us how to think and not what to think. Mm. And that was the gem that my parents gave me. And they gave me the freedom to explore without feeling shackled by their belief system. Oh man, sometimes back in my childhood, I never experienced that because I never had to go through it. It's like, we're praying. If you want to join us, join us. Like, this is how we pray. This is what we believe in. And for years, this is what I believed until, you know, I found my own path and my own journey. But I was very grateful for my parents because they never looked at me differently throughout my journey. At the end of my theological journey to this day, they just like, as long as you're happy, man, that's all we want. So that was the gem that they gave me. To me, that is the goal, the life mm-hmm. goal of a parent. Yeah. You as a father or you as a mother, your goal is to have them prepared for the world, to live in the world, to be a productive member of society when I'm gone. Like when I'm dead, if they can
be a good
human being and be productive and take care of themselves and take care of the loved ones, like then you did your job.
Let's talk about that though, because I'm about to throw a monkey wrench in there.
Go ahead.
Right. Because, you know, we've all done, you know, obviously me and you, we've done football camps, right? You go to those football mm-hmm. camps and you see little Ray. Right? Little Ray out there. Ray ain't nothing but like 9. Uh-huh. And you see those parents out there screaming and hollering. And little Ray's going to take care of me, right? And I just know for myself is, I've done so many football camps or been to games, and I started to see those parents who are talking about Ray or talking about John. John is going to make it and leave. He's going to take care of his mama, right? We look at sometimes sports in a way as an outlet. But I guess so. I'm asking you because I think you're a great guest to talk about is we shortchange ourselves, especially in the lower income community. And I think lower income is important to stand and stand with color. Lower income, we look for our son and daughter to make that opportunity in sports. But we don't invest the same energy in the school books, making sure Lil Ray, Lil John can read, can write, can count. And I'm asking you two gentlemen, why do you think that is?
The reason why we don't invest into our children's education is because it's not as our neighborhoods and our communities don't have the infrastructure that other communities do. So they don't have the after school programs. They don't have the STEM programs as prevalent as they do in other communities.
Correct.
And there's a whole bunch of societal structure issues.
Oh, absolutely.
As to why.
Yeah.
But that's like from the outsider perspective, from the insider perspective, which is equally valid, equally important, is Minister Farrakhan used to actually touch on this. It's like when you look at Black people in America, there's no natural resource that they have here, right, in order to develop wealth. And you talk about why some communities are more poverty stricken than others. It's because they have been denied access to having wealth in this country legislatively. Like, you mm-hmm. talk about redlining laws, you talk about all this yeah. kind of stuff. And so he used to talk about how our athletes and our entertainers are our natural resource, because wherever the culture moves is where we move, or wherever we move is where the culture moves. I'm talking about in entertainment in America, right? And so that has kind of been a real outlet in our communities, is you can make it like this. You can do, you can be a musician, you can be an athlete, you can be an entertainer. And that has been a real pathway, especially growing up, like you say, you grew up in LA, you see a lot, you probably know a lot of people that were athletes or entertainers that, you know, quote unquote, made it. And I think that becomes like almost a viable expectation to, at the very least, you can pay for your own college. Like, I don't have to, as a parent, pay for your own college, right? Because we're out here struggling. They're like, talking about as a parent, like, we're out here struggling. Like, you can provide for yourself in that manner if you focus on your sports. And so school is like such a long game. Like, even if you do get a full ride as an academics, the degree in which you get, like, there's no guarantee for a good steady job. Like, you definitely up your chances. Don't get me wrong. You are, the probability of you getting a better job with higher wages is way higher, but it's just a more win now mentality, which permeates our communities. Mm-hmm. And so, like I said, there's a lot of different variables, but that's just kind of touching the surface of it. It was easy for me to say, like, dog, you just gotta grind. Like, you just gotta get there. You just gotta go. Like, you just gotta be nonstop, because that's what I did, right?
Yep.
But that was my mentality. I used to tell my family that. I used to tell the kids that. Like, and it was, to me, irresponsible now as a little older man to say those kind of things, because when you're leaving out contextually, everything that I had been privileged to have. And this is one thing I preach to my kids all the time, is like, you are privileged. Like, I didn't, like, when I grew up, like, we used to, like, my mom used to send us hungry sometimes to bed. Like, we didn't have food. Mm-hmm. Like, you guys get to pick. You have options about what to have to dinner. There was never options. Whatever was there, that's what we was eating. Like, that's a privilege. You see these houses, like, this is a privilege. I took my daughter, she's 11 years old, I took it to, like, some of the lower income neighborhoods in Houston. I was like, you see this? Like, this is where your dad grew up. Like, he grew up like this. And she just bewildered, because she goes to a private school now. She doesn't understand. Like, she didn't understand that side. And so, like, I make sure she's aware that she's privileged.
That's good.
Not to shame her for her position, because it's not her. She was born.
You're giving a true, but a true perspective of both sides of the coin.
And the journey.
100%. 100%. Exactly. I'm allowing her to see that, like, what her father has done, to help bring this family's financial trajectory into a different place. But also in doing so, like I said, when I was in the league, it was more so my mindset was like, yo, you got to go get it. Like, I don't want to hear all these fucking excuses. Like, y'all niggas just bitching, like, that type of stuff. Right. I was just never aware of the issues that they faced on a day-to-day basis that can be debilitating. Right. Mm-hmm. To where it's like, if I get a flat tire, I can call somebody up and it's fixed and it's no problem. It is what it is, right? Yeah. A flat tire can ruin somebody's month.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
A flat tire can be the difference between, like, gas money and food money. Flat tire.
Rent,
so
rent.
When you, rent money. Yeah. So when you compile, like, all of the problems that are possibly out there, you compile that with all the societal pressures. Mm-hmm. You compile that with the issues that people face. You, like, all of the generational trauma. Like, you compile all of this stuff. It's really easy to not have empathy to people who are living check to check, which is the majority of America, right? Mm-hmm. And so, to answer your question, it's you have to attack it with different mindsets. Like, it's a duality, so you have to attack it from the micro, which is like I tell my brother, right? Was he was struggling. And I was like, listen, I don't like this current economic system that we live in, but it's what we live in. It's what it is. If you want to get to where you want to get to in this society, you have to grind to the point where you're miserable. You have to do something that nobody's willing to do. You have to do it day in and day out and be dedicated to it. And it's ugly and it's disgusting and nobody's by you and it's lonely and you have to be unhappy. Like, that's what it is. But because if you don't, like, the freedoms and the things that you want, they're just not going to be there under this economic system. That's the micro, right? When you look at it from the day to day, and you're really telling people how to make it in this country, or in this system, But when you look at it at the macro, that's when the empathy starts to come. When you start to throw in all of the things that have transpired towards people, toward legislatively, all of these things and all of these factors also factor into your individual life. Yes, it's possible for you to be wealthy in America, but the probability of it is very low. It's very low. And so you have to understand your place in it. Yes, it's very possible, but it's just not probable. And so you have to be, which is alludes to what we were talking about earlier, you have to be content like with who you are as a human being, which is when moms and dads and they struggling, or whoever's raising you, they struggling, they working a 9-to-5, you don't even see them that often. They're frustrated. They don't have the time or the energy to sit here and emotionally cater to a child like they need it, like they need to, right? I have that luxury, but not everybody does. And so we rely on school systems. We rely on, that's why they say it takes a village. We rely on a lot of other people to help raise our kids.
Cut to it, cut to it. Let's get down to it.
Hey, Gerard, where did you get that t-shirt?
You mean this thing?
Oh, yes.
I got it from CutToItPodcast.com, where we have exclusive merchandise. Shout out to our guys at 704 Shop. But yeah, you can go on, buy you a t-shirt, subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
With AT&T in-car Wi-Fi, elevate your adventure by transforming your vehicle into a reliable Wi-Fi hotspot. Connect up to 10 devices up to 50 feet away from your vehicle, making it ideal for camping and road trips. Don't miss out on the fun. Embark on your next adventure today. Visit att.com/in-car Wi-Fi to check if you're eligible for a free trial. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game.
Everyone, please welcome Coach John Calipari.
We're getting beat by 18, my first game in Kentucky. They're saying Cal's a bust. He can't coach. This is crazy. John Wall runs down the floor and makes a buzzer beater.
Yep.
You remember that, John?
That's my first game winner I ever made. Remember you said you never seen me do that.
Ladies and gentlemen, DeMarcus Boogie Cousins.
I called Boogie. I'm like, yo, bro, I'm about to commit to Duke. And I hung up on him. Bro, I'm talking about, do you want to tell me how many times he called me all type of names? Bro, you really sold me out. You doing this.
Bro, I was sick. I remember that like yesterday, man.
Love you, John Wall.
Thanks, Coach. Love you, too.
You made me everything I am today.
Nah, you made me. You made me.
I love it. Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It wasn't even supposed to be my name. That's my game.
Hey there, parents and teachers. Are you tired of feeling like every day is a battle of wills with your kids? Let me tell you about something that changed the game. Love and Logic. Love and Logic isn't just another parenting or teaching strategy. It's a mindset shift that empowers you to raise responsible, respectful kids while keeping your sanity intact. With Love and Logic, you'll learn practical techniques to set limits with empathy, give your kids the tools they need to make smart choices, and build relationships based on mutual respect and understanding. Love and Logic stands behind their methods with a 1-year money-back guarantee. Try it out risk-free. If it doesn't change your life, we'll buy it back. Plus, you can get 10% off with code IHEART10. So if you're ready to say goodbye to power struggles and hello to peaceful, loving relationships with your kids, it's time to give Love and Logic a try. Visit their website or call today. Your sanity will thank you. Love and Logic, because parenting and teaching should be a joy, not a chore. Visit loveandlogic.com.
We've got Andre Reed, inducted into the Hall of Fame in 2014. Andre Reed and the Buffalo Bills went to four consecutive Super Bowls. Andre ranks 18th in NFL history in total career receptions and 14th in NFL history in total career touchdown receptions.
This process for the Hall of Fame, I've always, you know, back in February 2002, I started working with a sports psychologist who worked with golfers mainly. And we started doing the visualization and daily, weekly, monthly, short-term, long-term, and then lifetime goals.
Right.
And one of my lifetime goals I have not marked off yet is Hall of Fame. And I've always steered away from it because it's so subjective and it's a –
And you should. That's probably the most important thing for you now is to just kind of.
But I'm doing that, but I also want to enjoy, no matter what the outcome is, the process, because I've steered away from it so much that I've almost set myself up to believe that I'm not this, I'm not that, but more of anything. Through your journey, why was it special to be inducted in the process and the procedure that made it such a special moment for you and your family?
That's a great question. I think it's been 7 years now, and I think every year, and this is just aside from how they go about doing things, how the Hall of Fame selectors and all that kind of stuff, how to get to the point where they pick five guys that are the guys that they feel are worthy of induction and a bust and all that kind of stuff. And I always tell people, they like, well, who do you think should be? People ask me, well, who do you think should be the next receiver going in? And I go, well, I can't really tell you the next one, but I can tell you about three or four guys that have been waiting a while that deserve. And the process, it took me 9 years. And I retired number 3, 5, and 7 yards, touchdown, catches of all time. And it took me 9 years. So to your point, Steve, the first 3, 4 years I was eligible, you know, you're just like, okay, you think of it, yeah, this is my year no matter what. My stats say this, then I'm a team this, that. But it took me 4 years to figure out how they go about doing it. And I had to respect that, whether the outcome was, yes, this is your year or it's not your year. You stepped out on the field. Somebody had to find you. Because you disrupt and you change games. That's what a Hall of Famer to me is. And you're in that category. Torrey Holt, all the receivers that are up now are just like when me, Chris, Tim Brown, you know, Jerry was in his own category. But me, Chris, and Tim Brown for 5 years took votes from each other. For 5 years. Chris goes in 13. I go in 14. Tim Brown goes in 15. So that's the process that I'm trying to get at, is that they do this regardless of who's saying something for you or not. When all 44 of those guys get in the room, they're influenced by each other, regardless if that's the guy I'm talking about or not. So the guy that's going to be representing you not only has to convince the 44 other guys, he really has to convince himself that I'm in here because this is my guy. And everybody, every 44, one of those guys, that's my guy. I'm on his behalf to make sure you guys know why he should have a bronze bus that'll last 60,000 years. No doubt about it. Everybody who's on a ballot, they don't put you on a ballot if they don't think you're worthy of it.
I don't care how many years you played and whatever. If you're not on that, if you're on the ballot, you're worth it. You should be a Hall of Famer. That's just my. That's why we don't have votes.
Mm-hmm.
They send me a ballot every year. Who do you think? And I check people off or whatever. That's not going to them writers. It's not going to influence what they feel and how they go about presenting, no matter what. So right now, this is your first year of eligibility, right?
Yep.
Okay. So let me tell you, this is what you have. You got the holdovers. So you got Torrey, Hines Ward, Reggie Wayne. These guys have been in it for a while. They've been in the finals for a while. And it's kind of like it's the same process that me, Tim, and Chris Carter went through. So sooner or later, they're going to have to start breaking everybody up. They're going to have to start breaking everybody up. And then once one goes and boom, 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 it'll be.
It's a domino effect almost.
It'll be a domino effect. So, and then I always look at it. You look at errors. Right? You look at errors. When they get in that room, they're going to look at what error they played in. What type of game was it in that error? And that's maybe one guy thinks of it that way, and maybe three other voters think of it a different way, whatever it is. But they put all you guys, they're going to put all you in a category, and they're going to look at the error, and they're going to look at numbers. They're going to look at playoff. They're going to look at all that stuff. But it's the one guy that says something that the other four guys or other five guys, how many it is, doesn't say. So whoever's going to be presenting you to the voters and the writers, he's got to be on his game. And he's got to say something about you that none of these other three guys got. That's going to be the difference. You're going to get in, but what can he say about you? The same guy said something about me 9 years in a row. Did you say the same thing every time? I mean, I didn't have any-
Let's reshuffle the deck, bro.
You know, I mean, like, did you say something year four that you didn't say on year six or what? How'd you go about doing that?
He brought that same movie script in every year, huh? Hey, we saw this movie.
I started writing stuff down. Said, hey, say this.
Hey, you start a meeting with, hey, what we got this week? What we got this year? Hey, nah. Hey,
don't man, wait a minute, Andre, you had to Google your own. You had to Google your own stats.
No. Right, yeah.
Let me slide this in.
So, I think you know it's a dumb. Excuse my French. It's a dumbass process. It is, because if you were an impactful player and you showed up every game and you played, there should be no question. But that's not how they work. They don't work like that in that room on Saturday morning, the day before Super Bowl. They don't work like that. I think it's going to be you're going to be going against those guys. That's the bottom line.
When you got that jacket, did it make it all worthwhile then?
No doubt about it, man. I wouldn't say it changed my life. It just put a stamp. It put the stamp of approval on what I did. Everybody else can think this and think that, whatever they want to. But this jacket means that you were great at something that a lot of people weren't great at. That's what it means. And it just ain't any old jacket. You ain't gonna go down here to Nordstrom to get one of them things. That's for sure. So once that happens for you, will you be different? Of course. But all the people around you, family, friends, somebody had said something to you when you were in high school, somebody said something to you in Pop Warner or whatever, that's the things you think about. That all flashed before my eyes the minute I got that call. And it's a feeling that I'll never, ever be able to describe freely. I mean, like, really describe it. Because at that moment, man, I just had an out-of-body experience.
And it was, and I mean, I thought about a lot of people. I thought about my dad because my dad wasn't there. Mm. He wasn't there in Triman Day. He wasn't there to see it. So those are the emotions you get. And I'm an Aquarius. I'm a very emotional person anyway. So it really put in perspective, not only you as a player, but you as a person. You as a person, man, that's the most important thing, is what's in here. They can take a lot of things from you. They can't take that. That's hard to get from somebody, especially if they don't want to give it to you. Mm. It's hard to get. So and I sometimes when I'm alone, I think about it. And believe it or not, bro, it tears me up. Because it's something you dream about. You know, you get in they have the gold jacket luncheon and you're at the hall, you're in this room and there's no media. Nobody's allowed in this room. Not even if a fly got in the room, they're kicking his ass out. And it's a room with the greatest players ever. 100 of us in that room. And we just talk. And it's beyond any fraternity you can imagine being in. So I'm looking forward to you being a part of our fraternity, brother, for sure.
Hey, you just fucked me up.
Man, he painted the picture, didn't he? I felt like I was there.
These boys over here talking about, can I come?
Right.
Can I come to the lunch?
I just put a glass on the door right there, and I just want to listen.
Man. Yep. It's I mean, when you listen to Jim Brown talk, you can't help but listen to that man. Yeah. And it's a heck of an experience, man. You'll never forget it the rest of your life. Mm. Next to your kids being born, it's a close second. Did you guys get that? It's a close second.
I go.
Man, Andre, appreciate you sharing that. I mean, that was a picture that I don't know that anyone else could paint, probably but you, to be able to elaborate on that. And I know I speak for Smitty. That was really, really cool. That was really cool.
Yeah. I appreciate you guys having me on. I respect Steve so much as a player, as a person. Every time I see him, we always laugh about things. Mm-hmm. I'm sure next time I see him, I'm going to laugh about a few things. But he is a not only the consummate pro he was, but every time he stepped out on the field, you're going to get your best from 89. And he showed that every single Sunday. He was a credit to the game, a credit to himself, his family. And again, I can't wait for him to be like that.
So they took an old pitcher and did that? No, I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm just asking like how they.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh,
heavy.
Right. No, actually, this is the one you get. It's made of resin, so this will last 40,000 years.
Oh, okay.
And the one in Canton is bronze, so it's like 60,000 to 80,000.
If you don't mind me asking, where do you put that? Like. I mean, I know for the show you got it right there. But
yeah, I put it. I have downstairs. I put it on just a mantle by itself.
Have you ever, not calling you out, but you ever kind of walk down the hall and, you're having a
that peek at him,
or no, not peek at him, but it's like you forget he there and you think it's a truth. Like hey, you over there be like hey ninja, hey right. hey
no,
oh no, walk that's just me, hall, that's just me.
Hey, you walk down the hall, look at it, and you go, "Who is that?" And then you have to go back and look again and make sure.
Yeah.
But it's coming, brother. I mean, guys like John Randall and guys that already been in the hall 3 or 4 years before I was there were like, just have patience. You know, patience is a virtue. It's really hard. My dad taught me that. It's hard to have patience, especially in this world. It's hard to be a patient person. Because everybody wants it right now. Give that now. Patience is a virtue, man. Mm-hmm. And when that patience, that pays off, it was all worth it. Mm-hmm. It was all worth it.
You are a unique person. You are well worth it. you are competent, and most of all, you're lovable. I'm Steve Smith Sr.
I'm Gerard Littlejohn.
And this is Cut to It.
Cut to It with Steve Smith Sr., that is me, is a production of Cut to It LLC, Balto Creative Media, The Black Effect, and iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
From Cut to It, executive producer Steve Smith Sr., co-host Gerard Littlejohn, talent and booking manager Joe Fushi, social media team Wesley Robinson and John Cho. From Balto Creative Media, Cut to It is produced by Brian Baltashevich and Meredith Carter, with production assistance by Alex Labreck, production coordinator Taylor Robinson. Theme music by Alex Johnson, lyrics and vocals by Anthony Hamilton.
The hit movie Bob Marley, One Love, is now streaming on Paramount Plus. Celebrate the life and music of an icon who inspired generations through his message of love, peace, and unity. If you missed Bob Marley, One Love in the theaters, now's your chance to watch at home. Stream the hit movie now on Paramount Plus, rated PG-13. Head to ParamountPlus.com/OneLove to try it free now.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
AT&T connects and ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tenor girl go shopping.
Yeah, baby.
Wait.
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.